of his birth at Christmas time, and then his going through Lent and through to Easter, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and now we come to the point where we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And so just as preparation for that, and we're going to hear the reading from Acts in just a moment. Penny's going to bring that to us. But we're going to say a couple of words together in preparation for that. So are you ready? Good. As we wait in silence, fill us with your Spirit. Oop, there are the words. Yeah, let's go again. As we wait in silence, fill us with your Spirit. As we listen to your word, fill us with your Spirit. As we worship you in majesty, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your refreshing, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your renewing, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your equipping, fill us with your Spirit. And as we long for your empowering, fill us with your Spirit. Take a seat.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, we're just going to let the kids leave. Oh, that was what your wife said.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Have fun, kids, and I'll start again. Sorry, Mark. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Ke kone te ariki, the Lord is here. God's Spirit is with us.
Let's stand. I know many of you have been joining us in this, but people have been praying across this church and actually across the world over the last 10 days, praying, come Holy Spirit, and building towards this day, this gathering now, as we begin this day. The Lord is here. God's Spirit is with us.
We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are God with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are God within us. And just in the quiet now, let's pray that the Spirit will work through our lives to bring Christ to the world. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat and we're going to hear our gospel reading.
Just give the ministry team time to take a seat. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 17 and verses 25 to 27. Praise and glory to God, te whakamomiti te kororia ki te atua. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, Whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi I titia ia te kupu mana.
Thanks, Penny. Pop this over here. There we go. Well, kia ora whānau, how are you doing? You all right? It's good to be together again this morning. I was just thinking, I'm going to miss speaking te reo Māori when I'm over in the UK. It's going to be really odd sort of standing up and just going straight on with the English, you know. It'll sound strange, though, but people would be like, if the right person turns up, they'll be like, I can't believe it, that's so good. I heard my own language. Anyway, so good. So it's really, I was just, so much to say, but I thought the simplest way to say it was this, maybe. So way back when, Irenaeus used to talk about, he was a disciple of John, who was a disciple of Jesus. Oh, sorry, Polycarp, who was John, who was of Jesus. So he's right back at one of the very first Christians. And, you know, he knew people that knew John, the disciple. Nuts. And he used to talk about God's doing everything with his two hands, the Son and the Spirit. So he created you and me. You know, when he fashioned us, you know, back in the book of Genesis, he gets a whole load of clay or whatever and puts it all together. And then he breathes life into it, doesn't he? And it's like the Son and the Spirit, his two hands, he's making us, you and me, fashioning us. And then breathing life into us. And everything he does, he says, he does with his two hands, the Son and the Spirit. Then Father, the Son, and the Spirit always working together. Now, I wonder if sometimes, so that's how he made us. It's also how he made the church, which is us, if you know what I mean. It's all of us. Does that make sense? We are the body of Christ. We are the living body of Christ in the world. His hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, you know, we are the body of Christ. And as such, he's made us through the Son and the Spirit. The church, the body of Christ, was invented by Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father. And created and formed and fashioned and made. And we breathe, you know, Jesus called us. Jesus called the first Christians. He appointed some as apostles. He didn't say it's free for all. Just, you know, it's like, yeah, no, these people are the people you should trust. And they, you know, there's some structure to this thing, you know. And he's like, and I want you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three of them, not just two. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So we've got stuff to do. We've got to baptize people. And then he broke bread with his disciples, didn't he? And he said, do this to remember me. Those are the only big two things that he did, or actions, rather, that he gave us to do. Baptism and Eucharist. And there's other stuff mixed in there. But those are the two explicit ones. And we do those, don't we, as the church? So we do that. But we would be nothing without, just like our bodies would be nothing without the life, the breath of life in us. The church is not the church without the breath of the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? Again, so he makes us by the Son and the Spirit. He makes the church by the Son and the Spirit. The reason, why am I saying all this? One of the reasons I'm saying all of this is because I think, particularly in our churches that we're used to, in the West, we often gravitate to either the Son, guess what I'm going to say next, or the Spirit. I mean, of course, we never fully, well, sometimes we do go fully in either direction, and then it's really weird. We always have a bit of each, but we sort of gravitate towards one or the other, it seems. Do you have that experience? So you go to some churches, and it's all the word, the word, the word, the word. And we don't believe in, you know, spooky things and, I don't know, miracles or whatever. And then you go to other churches, and it's almost like, who cares about the Bible? You know, honestly, it's all my experience, and it's what I've been up to, and, you know, and it's hype, you know. And it's all just emotion and everything like that. And it's like, let's not get too reasonable. Let's not use our brains. It's like, hey, and I feel like God's in the middle going, you guys, what's up? You know, why are you just going so far down that way or that way? And I have to say, as you know, I think we can all learn from each other. My friends, as you know, in the Orthodox Church, who I often speak about, they've never known a charismatic movement. There is no Pentecostal Orthodox Church, because they've always believed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'll come to that in a minute, but they say we are all charismatics. All Christians are charismatics. There's no kind of, oh, we do the Son or the Spirit. There's no kind of word or feeling or, you know, it's just, this is all together. This is normal. So there's never been a point for them where it's been unusual for somebody, like my friend, he became a Christian through being taken for a walk by this guy. He was actually a monk, proper Orthodox monk, you know, with a beard and the kind of looks like an Old Testament chap. And he took him for a walk, and the guy just sort of told him about his life. And he said, God really loves you. God really loves you. And this guy, my friend, was an atheist, staunch atheist, and an intellectual. He was, you know, he ended up teaching in university, being a professor, all that sort of thing. Absolutely wanted to have nothing to do with Christianity. But his friend said, you should just talk to this monk. Go on, just talk, you know. And this monk took him for a walk and said, God loves you. And he said, you know, God knows, blah, 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 this happened to you, that happened to you, you know, all these things. And he was like, gosh, how did you know all this stuff about me? But he thought, well, maybe he's been chatting to my friends, you know. And then he said, and, you know, God knows this. And he was like, hang on, that's something I wrote in my journal when I haven't told anyone. How does he know that about me? And he said, and do you know what? God loves you so much that he knows that, I think I might have told you this, some of you, this story, that when you were born, you nearly died, you know, but God delivered you and you're here today. And it was at that point that he just thought, okay, well, you know, that bit didn't happen, I know. But everything else did, and it was amazing. And he got home and he told his mum, who was a Christian who had been praying for him, a Greek Orthodox Christian. Are they really Christians? And she'd been praying for him. And yes, they are, just in case you didn't realize that was a joke. And then he said this stuff that was in my journal that I haven't told anyone. It was just like, God must love me. He kept telling me God loves me. And then he told me the detail that God knows me. And then he said this thing about, you know, when I was born, of course, which wasn't right. And his mum went white. And she said, I've never told you this, but when you were born with the umbilical cord wrapped around your neck. And as you came out, you were starved of oxygen. And the doctors had to do this quick emergency procedure and all that sort of thing. And you nearly died. And I've never told you that. And then he was just like, oh my gosh. You know, even the bit he thought was wrong was right. That's normal. That's not a spooky, weird thing for people in Greece or, you know, wherever in the eastern half of the church. And it's no longer necessarily spooky and weird for us in the West either. But again, some of us are like, And some of us are like, uh-huh, but no, you know. And it's one or the other. And I think we need to get back to that God's two hands, the Son and the Spirit. He never does anything without the Holy Trinity all being involved together. The curious thing, I suppose, is, I don't know, how normal is that for us? I mean, it's not normal for everybody, like, you know, all the time. And it's not just feelings and it's not just intellect, but actually somehow they all mix together. And I want us to know that, I suppose, because I just see in our churches that division or that sort of going into one or the other. There is no Spirit without Christ. The Holy Spirit is always given through the Son. You know, on the day of Pentecost, we just heard that those words. You know, that Christ, Peter just preaches about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and then he died, and then he rose again, and then he ascended. And he says, and then he received from the Father that which has been poured out now on you. The gift from the Father, the promise of the Father, he calls it, which is poured out on you. The Spirit comes through Jesus Christ. If we're getting the Spirit or spirity stuff or spiritual things from somewhere else, it might just be our fanciful thinking. It might be our emotions. It might be, which are not bad. Emotions are good. I'm a very emotional person, as you probably know. But we can get led off into some weird things. I'm sure none of us has ever seen anything weird in church. And I'm sure none of us has ever heard that being claimed to be God, and we've thought, I wonder if that is God, you know. And sometimes it is, and sometimes I think it's not, to be honest. But you know what? I honestly think God cares less about, like, some dividing line between that was God and that was just people. Because, again, it's the Son and the Spirit together. I think sometimes I have a good idea. Who knows how it got there? And I might go, oh, I think God's telling me this about you. Actually, I just sort of intuited it. Do you know what I mean? And you could go, well, then that's not God. That's not a gift of the Spirit. That's, you know. But I don't know, because God made me. And graciously, through no deserve of my own, has filled me with the Holy Spirit. And maybe it was just a good idea. Maybe it was just my human, I don't know, being a human being, that I sort of read that in you. I spotted that. I could see from the look in your eyes, blah, blah, blah. And I say this thing and I claim God to be in it or something. Kind of God is actually in that because it came from love. Does that make sense? Well, what I'm saying is there is no science that could ever divide and go, well, no, that bit was the Holy Spirit and that bit was just, sure, it was just you though, but, you know, but it was the you that God made doing things that God made you to do. Am I making any sense? I just think God is at work. And sometimes I might think, ooh, I had this really good idea. And actually, that was God. It wasn't me. And in fact, all that is good at the end of the day comes from God. As it says, you know, in the scriptures, every good gift comes to us from our Father, the Father of lights. So I wouldn't worry too much. I wouldn't get hung up too much about, is this a gift of the Spirit or isn't it? Is this just me? At the end of the day, if the Son and the Spirit are involved, and the greatest of these is love, if we're doing things in love, God's going to be involved. Some of that effort will be ours. Hopefully, a lot of it will be God's. And the more we lean on God, the more we rely on God, the more he is able to flow and work through us. So rather than going to one extreme or the other, I think we should be somewhere in the middle. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what I'll end with. What does the Holy Spirit do? It brings the Son. The Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus so that we can be Christ, his body, together in the world. So that we can go out there and show people the love of God, live it. So that we can have the power to do that, the gifts to do that, the love, the fruit, the love, joy, peace, patience, all those, so that we can have all of that, which is all Jesus, isn't it? What are the gifts of the Spirit? There's millions. Some of the gifts of the Spirit, or the charismata, as they're called in the New Testament. What are they? Give me some examples. Well, gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, tongues, healing, discernment. Yeah, all of these things. Gifts of the Spirit. Are they given so that we can have a bless-up in church? A holy bless-up? Well, yes and no. It's not just no, and it's not just yes. We're blessed, as the Bible is full of saying, right the way back to when Abraham was first called. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's the reason we are not blessed, so that we can just enjoy it ourselves. If the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, it is not just for me to have fun with and feel good about. And the reason I said, when I said, was it last week or the week before about Katie, if that was what our marriage was about, and she gives me a gift and I just, she cooks me a wonderful birthday dinner, And in fact, my daughter, I'll switch it to my daughter, she cooked me an amazing birthday dinner. And imagine if we're all sitting down at the table and I've got this gift of all this, and it was so good, this food, this incredible food. And then I just sort of take it all off and have a great time eating it on my own. And they're all sitting there. I've just taken her gift to me and used it for myself. That's not what it was given for. And I've divided the gift from the giver. You know this whole thing, just only Jesus or only the Spirit. If we divide the gift from the giver, that's what we do. Jesus said, some of you are going to say to me, but Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? Miracles, one of the gifts of the Spirit. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say to them, but I never knew you. You're just like doing all this stuff. I never knew you. You divided off. You made it about one or the other. I never knew you. That's not where we want to be, is it? We don't want to divide the gifts from the person. Nom, 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 nom. All for me. We're not blessed just for ourselves. We are blessed. God blesses us richly and abundantly, and it's amazing. And he blesses us to be a blessing, to go out there into the world and to share that love of God, those gifts of the Spirit, which help us to be a bit more like Jesus, don't they? It's all about being a bit more like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes so that we can love people enough to be able to go, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Not just in church, out there. having a sandwich at Salt and Wood or a pie down at the beach. We can go, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Let's pray about that. And maybe God's saying this to you. Maybe he's encouraging you to do X, Y, or Z. Do you know what I mean? Those gifts of the Spirit which help us to be like Jesus in the world. And the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. And not a coconut. Thank you. Not a pineapple. And again, those fruits of the Spirit are so that God can live in us so that we can be more like Jesus, because Jesus is love, isn't he? Jesus is patience. Wow, look at his patience. His kindness, so kind. Goodness, his gentleness. He's full of that self-control. Doesn't lose it, and, you know. And all the others. So we get to celebrate Pentecost this morning. It is amazing and it is wonderful. The gift of the Holy Spirit poured out from the Father through Christ. From the Father through Christ to you and me to make us the body of Christ. Not just individuals either, eh? That's another gift the Holy Spirit brings. At the end of Corinthians, you know, what does Paul say? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship. That's a gift that the Holy Spirit brings, another gift, fellowship, to make us one. You know, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I'll pour out the Holy Spirit on you. In our reading now, and he makes us one. So we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through Christ from the Father to make us the body of Christ in the world so that we can bring that joy, that love, that peace, those gifts of insight and, you know, words and, you know, wisdom to others. So let's do that, eh? Bless you so much. And I am, honestly, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm sad. I'm so full of joy to be here together with you, and so sad to be saying goodbye soon. So, that's the way it goes. I've got some prayers, which are special prayers for this morning. There'll be a little response up on the screen. And they're prayers about the Holy Spirit. And the response is, when I say, Lord, come to bless us, we say together, and fill us with your Spirit. So let's do that. Let's pray now for God to fill us with his Spirit. Generous God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that we may be strengthened to serve you better in the world. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to make us wise to understand your will, your ways in the world. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the peace of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to keep us confident of your love wherever you call us to serve you in your world. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the healing of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bring reconciliation and wholeness where there is division, where there is sickness, where there is sorrow. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to equip us for the work which you have given us to do in your world. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to reveal in our lives the love of Jesus. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. We thank you for the breath of your Holy Spirit given us by the risen Lord. We ask you to keep the whole church, living and departed, in the joy of eternal life. Lord, come to bless us and fill us with your Spirit. Generous God, you sent your Holy Spirit upon your Messiah at the River Jordan, and upon your disciples in the upper room. In your mercy, fill us with your Spirit. Hear our prayer and make us one in heart and mind to serve you with joy forever. Amen. Amen. We're just about, we're going to